to Civic Media special coverage. Breaking news this afternoon. We got word about an hour ago that President Biden, after days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his reelection campaign, apparently that decision was made earlier today and announced about an hour ago. And of course, this has repercussions for the nation and the world. Here to talk more about that and with some special guests, here's Civic Media's Todd Abba.
Terry Bell, thank you very much. We come on the air this afternoon now just after the hour of 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. It seems like you and I were just a few days ago, which we were, at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee on Wisconsin Media Row, and talking about this very scenario. And we thought it would happen over the weekend. We said it was most likely today, and here we are on a Sunday, and about a half an hour to 45 minutes ago, President Joe Biden put out a statement. He decided to do it via a text or a tweet on what used to be known as Twitter. Now it is being called X. And he released a statement, a letter, not very long. I'm going to read a couple of parts of it for our audience who might not have heard it yet. And the White House saying that he did this because the president is in Delaware this afternoon, where he continues to recover from COVID-19. President Biden releasing this letter moments ago, or about a half hour, 45 minutes ago. Now, quote, "My fellow Americans, over the past 3.5 years, we have made great progress as a nation. Today, America has the strongest economy in the world. We've made historic investments in rebuilding our nation, in lowering prescription drug costs for seniors, and in expanding affordable health care for a record number of Americans." He goes on to list more of his accomplishments. Then he picks up and says, "I know none of this could have been done without you, the American people. Together, we overcame a once-in-a-century pandemic and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression." Then skipping forward, "It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president, and while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision. For now, let me express my deepest gratitude to all those who have worked so hard to see me reelected. I want to thank Vice President Kamala Harris for being an extraordinary partner in all this work. And let me express my heartfelt appreciation to the American people for the faith and trust you have placed in me. I believe today what I've always believed, and that is nothing. There is nothing in America that the Americans can't do. We can do it together. We just have to remember we are the United States of America." The words read there, a letter from President Joe Biden to the nation being released a little while ago, saying he was going to stand down. He will not seek re-election. The first time, of course, this has happened since Lyndon Baines Johnson decided not to seek re-election so very many years ago. Joining us to discuss this, and we're doing this a little bit on the fly, so Jorge Arenas, who is doing an outstanding job as our producer, engineer, and Corey Hartman. I believe Trigvi Olson is standing by in the waiting room of our StreamYard broadcast. We'll bring him in whenever we can. But I want to go, first of all, to Matt Flynn, a two-time chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, a friend of ours, an ongoing contributor to Civic Media. Matt Flynn joining us via phone from Milwaukee. Matt, we spoke just last week, still up in the air. But Matt Flynn, I just want to get your reaction as a historian of these things and also a longtime member and activist in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Todd. I think this is a very dark day for the Democratic Party and for the United States. I think we can surmount it. But historically, here's exactly what happened. Right after one bad debate performance, a jackal pack assembled to drag Biden down. It started with the New York Times editorial board, the Washington Post, the media. They spent more time over the last few months attacking Biden and exaggerating what they were saying than attacking Trump. And I'll give you two examples. One is he was ahead. A poll just came out. He's ahead in Florida by 3 points. Florida. And where he's behind in some of these places is margin of error. And you don't get into a campaign until the nomination. And then he was our best chance to beat Donald Trump. The problem is when you have these Brutuses stabbing him, And I'm saying it started out with backbenchers. It started out with a few soreheads, but then it became Schumer. It became Pelosi. It became Hakeem Jeffries. It became Obama. And at some point, the diminution in the polls just recently, which was still margin of error, was a result of, hey, if the party doesn't want them, then why should we want them? So it was self-perpetuating. Now, fortunately, he endorsed Kamala Harris. She's his vice president. People forget, and I'm just going to lay it on the table right now, that in the past, when Biden showed any weakness in polling, besides age, the other one was Kamala Harris would be his successor. That was seen as a weakness. So we are now everybody a hair of the dog remedy. Why don't you vote for her in November? So we'll stand by her, but this is going to be a long slog this fall.
Trivia Olson joining us via StreamYard from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., our ongoing contributor. He joins us every Wednesday on our show. He was with us in Milwaukee for the majority of the Republican National Convention. Senior advisor now to the Lincoln Project, a former Republican like myself. Trivia Olson, your reaction as someone who's worked on presidential campaigns, in particular the late great Senator John McCain on his presidential campaigns, amongst others. What is your take on President Biden's announcement that he is withdrawing from the race? And yes, in fact, as Matt Flynn said, he has endorsed his vice president, Kamala Harris.
So, you know, with the Lincoln Project hat on from the beginning, we always said, you know, we're about Donald Trump and defeating Trumpism. So whoever the Democratic nominee was going to be, we're going to back. And we founded the organization when we thought really that Bernie Sanders was going to be running against Donald Trump in 2020. So that said, I don't know, you know, Matt, I love Matt Flynn. But the bottom line is Joe Biden, after the debate, was not a viable candidate to win the state of Wisconsin, regardless of what the public polls were showing. I have access to numerous private polls. I talk to people on the Democratic side who have access to massive polls, not 1,000 sample in Wisconsin, but literally 5 or 10,000 in the sample. The bottom line is people had concluded, and this was true even in the first big survey that we did in April of 2023, it isn't just that people thought that Joe Biden was old. They were worried, does he have the faculties to serve a second term? And the debate really crystallized it in people's minds. You know, in some models that I saw, Joe Biden went from probably winning Wisconsin, if he did, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 to 4,000 votes, to down 60,000. And so the reality is it just wasn't sustainable. And Todd, you and I ran into that when we were traveling around the state both times, the concerns. You can't have a situation. Joe Biden, Tammy Baldwin didn't campaign with Joe Biden in Madison. Mm. So Joe Biden has had an incredibly successful term in office with what he's done with NATO, with what he's done with the infrastructure bill. But the reality is time is undefeated. And it was time, and the Democrats probably should have done this sooner. It was time to move on. It's a little bit like Jordan Love coming in for Aaron Rodgers. People don't like that. Or Aaron Rodgers for Brett Favre, because none of us like to face our own immortality. But now the race will be back being about Donald Trump. That is what it has to be about. And the fact that he is old, and he is not only, you know, appearing to be demented, but he's flat out crazy, and he'd like to end democracy and make a retribution tour. So that's what this race is going to be about now. And if it's Kamala Harris who Biden's it backing, and that's the way it goes, we have to be defending Kamala Harris, and we have to be defending any of the other people that could be, and drawing a contrast with Donald Trump, because all of them are committed to democracy, and he is not. And the question of whether Kamala Harris has the mental faculties to be president is not in question.
You're listening to a special report of Civic Media News. It's 12 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. We're covering the breaking news at this hour that President Joe Biden, Democrat, has announced in a letter to the nation this afternoon that he is not going to stand for re-election and has endorsed his vice president, Kamala Harris, to be the Democratic nominee. When Democrats gather at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago next month, civic media will be there. We are going to go in a minute for a recap to Savannah, one of our great news anchors at Madison. But first, I want to go back to Matt Flynn. Matt, I think that there's going to be a lot of debate amongst Democrats for a long time. I personally hope, as Travey kind of laid out, let's move forward because, we have to defeat in a lot of Republicans, disaffected right. Republicans like Travey Olson, a lot of Democrats, a lot of independents, that the point here is to defeat Trump and Trumpism. To help us walk through, as an attorney, Matt Flynn, and also a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican, was making his rounds on the morning news shows this morning and saying that Republicans, at least in select states, are going to attempt to stop this in the courts. And their argument is going to be almost what Democrats have leveled on Republicans and Trumpism, that, hey, there are primary elections around this country and millions of people voted and they nominated Joe Biden. So are the Democrats the one who are ignoring election results? They're going to try to stop this in the courts. Matt Flynn, you're an attorney. Help us sort it out.
Yeah, well, I was at a convention where this happened in 1980. And there was a change in the party rules in the 80s. Here's what happened. Ted Kennedy ran against Jimmy Carter. And the Kennedy delegates were asked, well, switch your votes to Carter. And they refused, but they could, because under the rules that were changed in the 80s, you are not committed, unlike an elector in the Electoral College, in a party convention, you are not committed to vote for the person you were selected for. The First Amendment right to do that within a party overrides the equation if you were an elector, and then you're not supposed to switch. So what's happened is Joe Biden has endorsed Kamala Harris. That's it. They will go there. They've got to do it before August 7 because Ohio has some trickery in its laws to try to keep the Democrat off the ballot. If Mike Johnson brings these lawsuits, all of the Biden delegates, every one of them, are going to vote for Kamala Harris. She'll be the nominee. And they're going to have to say, well, Your Honor, Biden was voted in the primaries. Now, that does not matter. Those delegates can do whatever they want anyway, and now they have the go-ahead from Joe Biden. And unless you get a corrupt judge like Clarence Thomas or somebody like Elise Mercedes Cannon down in Florida, any judge can read precedent. And so I don't think there's a problem at all. This also solves a financial problem because she can succeed to the money in the campaign. Whereas if you brought in a Mark Kelly or a Gavin Newsom, there'd be some questions about that.
We are, this is a special report by Civic Media News. It is now 16 past the hour of 2 o'clock. I'm Todd Allball, joined via phone by Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney as well, our ongoing friend and panelist. Also, Travey Olson, former Republican like myself, now senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from our nation's capital in Washington. I want to ask both of you what may come next. Now, the attention is going to turn to a potential of the vice presidential pick, but before I do that, I'm going to throw it to my colleague Savannah with a quick recap of where we're at right now. Savannah?
Sure. So what we've learned today is that these discussions have been going on since the debate. Since the debate, there have been politicians at first privately, then it kind of turned to pushing publicly, starting to mount pressure on President Biden to withdraw from the race. And you see that when you see statements start to come in within about 2 minutes. That means that the party has already started to kind of unify around a message, because that will be key for them, especially heading into the nomination process next month. But I think a lot of people have been kind of waiting for this and kind of waiting for this statement and waiting for this decision from President Biden. So when we got that this afternoon, it started with his kind of, I would say, surprise just out of nowhere, saying on X on social media that he was stepping down, endorsing Kamala Harris in that same message, which I think tells us a lot. I also just saw some more information from CNN that says that some major Democratic donors have already released statements saying that they are backing Kamala as well. So we're really going to start to see more and more unity behind the Democratic Party, because that will just be key for them as they shake up this race kind of heading into their convention. And I think they will. I mean, every time I'm out and I'm talking to people or interviewing people about November and about this election, the thing that they say to me is, oh, it's the same two people. And this was a way for people to be less tired of the same race that we had 4 years ago. And that may end up benefiting them in the end. Stands to be seen.
Thank you, Savannah. I really appreciate it. And again, about an hour now or so ago, President Joe Biden chose to release a written statement, White House saying that that is in part because the president is still recuperating from COVID. Any of us who've had COVID know your voice kind of goes, and so that may be part of the reason. We don't want to speculate too far, but the White House deciding to do this via a letter to the nation that read in part from Joe Biden, quote, "It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president, and while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision," unquote. Again, that is part of the written letter released by the president now going on an hour ago. I want to bring our panelists back into the mix. Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project in Washington, D.C. Trygve, lots of talk even as early as Thursday, lots of chatter on who may now be turned to for the vice presidential nominee. People like Andy Beshear, governor of Kentucky, who a former attorney general there who has been reelected to a second term there. He's a guy who says that, you know, he's not for assault weapons bans. He is for red flag laws, but he also supports LGBTQ rights and supports Roe v. Wade. Then you've got Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, the new governor there, who's, of course, Pennsylvania, a key state. Roy Cooper of North Carolina has been mentioned. And, of course, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, another must-win state, although Whitmer said earlier last week she had no interest in running for the VP. But Trygve Olson, you've been around these national campaigns. Nobody wants to be the vice president until they're asked. Trygve, I think maybe Trygve, your mic is muted there. Let's try that again, please. Somebody
muted me. Okay.
All right, there you go.
So a few things. That is 100% true about the vice presidency, unless it's Dick Cheney. I'm just trying to make Matt laugh with that joke. So here's a few things. One, my take as somebody who's run, you know, campaigns at those kinds of levels, particularly in the key states, there's really three choices. And I don't mean to disparage Tony Evers, but he ain't going to be vice president. That just isn't going to happen.
Surprise, surprise, as Gilbert Powell said.
He would be, and as I've said before, I'd love to have Tony Evers as my neighbor if I can convince my wife to move back here, but he's not going to be VP. So there's really only three choices, I think. Yes, Andy Beshear, he's great, but they're never going to win Kentucky, and he doesn't add that much to the ticket, quite honestly, other than he's moderate, white, and male. Rory Cooper, kind of the same thing. Maybe North Carolina goes into play, but the reality is if the Democrats are winning North Carolina, they're winning the election. There are four states that matter, only four: Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. You have possibilities from each. You have Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. You have Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. We're throwing out Tony. And you have Mark Kelly in Arizona. Pennsylvania's should be, in theory, it's the most Democrat of the four states. Arizona is the most Republican. Michigan and Wisconsin are the most alike. I think at the end of the day, one of the challenges that Shapiro has, and it probably isn't right, but Shapiro's first term, and he's Jewish, and of course, with some of the challenges that the Democrats have in places with large Palestinian communities, that might be a problem. I don't know enough about Democratic politics to know for sure, but it could be. Whitmer, the downside of Whitmer is obviously that's two females at the top of the ticket. In theory, that's an assumed. It might be, in fact, a strength. We don't know that. What we do know is that she's a two-term governor. She has a strong record, and she could probably counter J.D. Vance. She probably makes Michigan in the Democratic column, and she helps a lot in Wisconsin and maybe to a degree in Pennsylvania, and she's great contrast with J.D. Vance, who was picked solely for Midwest appeal. The last one is Mark Kelly. Now, Mark Kelly probably only helps in Arizona. He might carry Arizona for the Democrats, probably does. He probably doesn't help as much in Michigan and Wisconsin, and you can't win just with Pennsylvania and Arizona. You got to win Michigan and Wisconsin. If you win Arizona, you got to win Michigan or Wisconsin plus Pennsylvania. But Mark Kelly is an astronaut. He is an American military hero. And there's a lot of reassurance that might come with that. And he's a white dude. And Gabby Giffords, his wife, was a victim of political violence. So I think at the end of the day, it's either going to be Whitmer or Kelly. Quite honestly, again, as I say, we just have to, from my perspective, we have to defeat Donald Trump.
Let me ask you quickly, Tammy Baldwin, does she have Joe Biden looked at her, she was on the kind of top 10 list last time, she didn't make the top three. Any chance that it could be a Harris-Baldwin ticket?
Well, as you know, Todd, I love Tammy Baldwin. Tammy Baldwin and I don't agree on a lot, but she is one of the nicest human beings you will ever meet. Would I be happy if somebody like Tammy Baldwin were Vice President of the United States? Absolutely. I don't think the Democrats are going to go there. And I don't think they're going to go there. Probably doesn't say much about Tammy. It says a lot about Tammy. They're not going to want to try and replace Tammy Baldwin and risk losing that seat to Eric Hovde.
Right.
And I'm not sure that Tammy seals Michigan. If you're going that route, you might as well just go Whitmer.
Matt Flynn, former two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, what are your takes on VP for if Harris is indeed the Democratic nominee?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to two people. It's going to come down to Mark Kelly and Josh Shapiro, and here's why. I do not think that people vote for for a ticket, and they look at the VP and they say, the state near me and blah, blah, blah. Remember that Bill Clinton took Al Gore from two young Southern guys from adjacent states. The point was the message was youth and forward looking. Here you have Kamala Harris as contrast to Biden, a contrast to Trump, but she's going to need stability. And there's a benefit to Shapiro and there's a benefit to Kelly. The benefit to Kelly is he's not only an astronaut, he flew over 20 combat missions in Iraq. His life is on the line a lot. Combat pilots, when they're being actually shot at, and astronauts have to make instantaneous decisions, and he comes across very strong. He'd be an excellent choice. Josh Shapiro would be an excellent choice. I do not think that people look at things like race and ethnicity as much as they did. Everybody said, don't nominate Barack Obama. Well, he won two terms. Don't, nominate Jack Kennedy. And he won. So I think when it comes to Josh Shapiro, he's a young governor. He's tough as nails. And he also, quite frankly, has stood up to a Republican legislature there. And he's very popular in Pennsylvania. So Trigvi is exactly right. Kelly and Shapiro give you a twofer. They give you swing states. I am not convinced, by the way, that except for the case of Lyndon Johnson with Jack Kennedy, that the VP brings along his state automatically. That said, I could almost bet that it'll either be Kelly or Josh Shapiro.
Thank you very much, Matt Flynn. Trigvi, also, I know you're up against the clock. You got to go in about 2 minutes here. Anything we didn't ask you yet that you think is important?
I'm going to share a piece of research data that I have access to. So in the last 2 days, voters in Wisconsin, Michigan, were asked about how would they feel. This is Democrats, independents, and undecided Republicans. So ones, Republicans, conservatives are still on the table. Asked what one word open-ended. The overwhelming answer of almost 40% of people, and remember, they're not being given options was either relieved or relief. The next most popular was disappointed, and then happy, and you had about 12% saying sad. I think what Chris LaCivita and the Republican campaign, the Trump campaign, and I know him pretty well, as you guys know, they are off balance about how to respond to this. You're going to see them throwing out, we're going to throw them off the ballot and all the rest. I watch the Sunday talk shows. If they try and throw them off the ballot, they're going to run into the buzzsaw of not only lawyers like Matt, who are going to kill them in court, but they're going to run into a whole lot of people that are feeling relieved, who are going to be the voters that decide this thing in the key states. And they're going to be looking at it, why is Donald so Trump so impotent and afraid of Kamala Harris or whoever the nominee is? And the other thing is, if Kamala Harris, which I have no doubt she can utter six coherent sentences in a row, Donald Trump can't do that. That is going to be a big contrast that we've had two politicians in their mid-70s, and now we got someone in their 50s. Sorry, man, I got to run because I have to get on a call.
Very quickly, did Donald Trump's life get more difficult politically today? Yes or no?
Life? Oh, 100%. Political. And Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles, magnitudes of it, because Donald Trump, I'm sure, is breathing down at their neck saying, you were telling me I'm going to get 350 or 400 electoral votes. Now what am I going to get? I'm backing up in a hand-to-hand combat to win Wisconsin and Michigan. And, you know, for some of us, like on this call, Wisconsin's a home game. So let them bring it and try and win in Wisconsin.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Always a pleasure. He'll be on our show from noon until 1 o'clock tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Trevi. We'll let you go.
Yep.
Savannah,
thanks, guys.
One of our great news anchors. Savannah, do you have an update for us? And then we will wrap things up with Matt Flynn on the other side. Savannah, I will throw it to you.
Sure. So I've basically spent even just these last 20 minutes monitoring all the updates that are coming in, because it's just constant at this point with news this big. And it really starts with the dozens and dozens of statements from Democrats, congressional Democrats, Democratic governors, basically big players on the political stage on the liberal side. And overwhelmingly, they're really praising this decision, calling it a patriotic move. And then I talked to Congressman Mark Pocan maybe about an hour ago now, and he told me this is, quote, an honorable choice from a man who has consistently put his country first, end quote. But I also asked if he was relieved, because he had told me that he is constantly talking with constituents, and many of them say the exact same thing, and they were worried that Biden would not be able to beat Donald Trump. So he said he was relieved that now that question goes away, although a bunch more may now start to pop up with Harris or whoever else could emerge throughout this process. I just want to mention the money real quick, simply because that's one of the top questions. It can go straight to a Kamala Harris ticket, all the money that the Biden campaign has raised toward this point. Otherwise, it can be given to the Democratic National Committee. That's one of the things people always ask me about just in this last month when we've been talking about, okay, but if Biden drops out, where does the money come from? How do we raise money for a new candidate? And some of the people that have really praised this decision, something I just got in the last few minutes, was the Congressional Black Caucus. So I also just want to make the point that if Kamala Harris wins this nomination, she's the first woman of color to be nominated for president. And that would be a pretty huge moment, Todd.
Savannah Tomei Olson, outstanding reporting as always. Great news team led, of course, by our news director, Terry Bell. And apparently now coming across the wire, Senator Elizabeth Warren has also endorsed Kamala Harris as the nominee. Matt Flynn, one more chance. I'm going to ask you the same question. The two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, asking the same questions we asked Trevi Olson. Has Donald Trump's political life become more difficult today?
No, I absolutely think it has. And it's the kinds of lines of attack that he's going to do against her will differ somewhat from Joe Biden. But there's a couple of things she has to do. She is known for certain soft issues. She has got to make it clear that she unequivocally stands with Israel against Iran, against Hezbollah, against Hamas, against ISIS, everybody else. Number two, she stands unequivocally with Ukraine and with NATO. And three, unequivocally with Taiwan, just unequivocally. And if she does that, I think she has a good shot. But I personally am disappointed. I want to make that clear. Joe Biden could have won if the Jackal Pack hadn't dragged him down. That said, they did. Okay, we have a nominee. We got to get behind her, get her a good VP, and let's get going.
Right. Well, and I think that's a great distinction you make. And Trigvi Olson and I and others talked about that this week in the Republican National Convention, that this now Trumponian MAGA Republican Party is one that is antithetical to the Reagan Republican Party, which was strong on international defense. Certainly Reagan would have never tolerated, in my opinion, I think Trigvi's as well at the time, talk of being anti-Ukraine and pro-Putin, mass deportations, this sort of thing. So those are great points.
Right.
The words of President Joe Biden from earlier today, reading from his letter, quote, "It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. And while it's been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week and in more detail about my decision." Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party, an attorney, an ongoing contributor. We appreciate you taking time today with so much. We appreciate Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project as well, and Savannah Tomei Olson, our deputy news director here at Civic Media, coming in today. We really appreciate you. And, of course, our news director, Terry Bell, our great team, chief engineer, Corey Hartman, and also Jorge Reyes on the board producing and engineering as well, and Sage Weil making it all happen magically on the board. And, of course, our program director, Catherine Lake, Luke Mathers as well, and each and every one behind the scenes. These things are not easy, and we really appreciate everybody coming in on a Sunday. Savannah, anything else that you would add before we wrap up our coverage here on a Sunday afternoon at 2:34.
Get ready. It's going to be a crazy week.
It certainly is. Matt Flynn, anything we did not ask you yet that you wanted to say before we take the take leave of you?
No, one quick thing. Remember, you have to vet the VP candidates. In 1972, McGovern didn't vet his, and he had to throw him off the ticket when he realized he'd gone in for shock treatments. So I don't know beans about any of these guys, Kelly, Shapiro, and all that. So somebody had better be vetting them right now.
Yeah, I think that was a case for, of course, Pete Buttigieg to be the vice president because he's gone through a national campaign. But probably for reasons that you and Trigvi have articulated, perhaps he is not at the top of the ticket. It could be Whitmer, could be Kelly, could be Shapiro, or maybe it's a surprise that none of us are talking about. Stay tuned to all of our great news and talk programs on Civic Media tomorrow. We, of course, will be live with you from noon until 2. Trigvi Olson and Matt Flynn will both join us on our show tomorrow. So be aware of that. And of course, our great news team with Terry Bell and Savannah Tomei Olson and all the rest will keep you updated throughout today and into tomorrow on our hourly newscasts as well. For now, we are going to wrap things up here and stay tuned for Civic Media to civicmedia.us and our social media for further updates. Again, that's civicmedia.us and our social media at Civic Media's various social outlets. And of course, the Civic Media app, which is available at your Android or App Store. On behalf of all of us here at Civic Media, this has been a Civic Media News special report. It is 2:36 for all of us here at Civic Media. Have a good afternoon.